Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast, the True Blue Law podcast, as some of us say. And Eric, I feel like I almost went to bed last night in the seventh inning or the top of the eighth because I was exhausted. Think with a very clear idea of the tone of this podcast.
As we texted back and forth, like, because there was a thought that when we were scheduling today, we were going to have a limited window. And I said, look, we could just talk about every run they've scored and that didn't get scored on Saturday. And then it would take like 34 minutes to like break down. And so I don't blame you. Like, as this is a podcast about the Law Dodgers, as we talked about, like, and they've been very frustrating for
very
like,
blah, the
weeks.
Blah Dodgers, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, and so, in fact, I would say watching the Dodgers over the last, like, 3 weeks, one might say, y'all gonna make me lose my mind. And then that came up somehow after you were thinking about going to sleep, but we'll talk about it.
I'm gonna gather the mood swing, probably paint our hopes that it actually is a fixture of a sign of things to come and not just a flash in the pan. And then we've got a Dodgers rewind. We've got questions from Craig after this.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah, that game through almost eight innings felt like the last 2 weeks, just so emblematic of, other than, you know, the weird outlier Crazy Angels game.
Yeah. Well, and like, it was really, it's almost been like 3 weeks because they score all of their runs in like one or two games. Like, look, they were 2-8 on the road trip, right? And the two wins were 16 runs in Milwaukee, 14 runs in Anaheim.
I'm all about teams buying in, the players buying in to advanced stats, but this is taking Pythagorean theorem too far.
Right, yeah. Well, and, like, that's the thing. Like, they look great on run differential, but then also because they lose every single one-run game.
Yeah.
So, like, and obviously, like, that stuff tends to balance out, but it balances out. Like, we talked about this last week. Like, their problem is, like, it balances out when you're running, when you have a major league bullpen. And, like, if you have a, like, a festering sore, that's a problem. So, like, it's weird. Like, everything about last night was weird. Because, look, so you were, you know, possibly missing that game. Or, like, the end of the game.
Yeah, I was I was tired. It's been a tiring parenting week.
I was gonna say, you have a very small child. Does she still count as newborn? Like, I don't know what the range
infant
is on
would
that.
Be.
Infant, yeah, term. There you go. So like that, yeah. That's anyone who's like listening to this going, you got to watch the whole game. Like, look, come on, man.
And I'm on the Central Coast, to be clear. So it was midnight my time.
Kids determine schedules, like for the most part. Like, I would say, but yeah, but like. But, like, also, so we talked about this. One of the struggling sort of relievers, Garrett Clevenger, he's been saddled with, like, three extra inning losses already. And it was in, like, an 11-day span or something, like, because, like, they keep, like, their sort of plan is built to, like, win in, like, nine innings, right? And, and, like, with so many relievers hurt, like, they don't have like the depth they would normally have, like just at the back. So like, because the offense was so bad, they had so many close games, and they kept going into extra innings, and they're like, here's Alex Vesia and Mitch White and Garrett Clevenger and stuff, and like it's been brutal. So then they had an off day last Thursday before the Anaheim series, an off day Monday before this Seattle series, an off day Thursday because it's one of those weird two game interleague things. So this is like the time when the bullpen's like fully rested and you can really consolidate. And so first day after an off day, with an off day coming Thursday, after Walker Buehler goes 7 innings, the Dodgers are down by a run. Their first call out of the bullpen was Garrett Clevenger. I was like, what in the hell? Like, how is this possible? And like, look, like he's obviously earned his way to the majors. I'm not like trying to shake, but it's like, it's very clear that, you know, it's going to take time. Like you develop, right? Like into that role, he hasn't done well at all. And like,
and he
just
comes out and cannot throw a fastball to save his life.
and he gets to like 3-0 on the first batter. Yep. And I'm like, well, why are you doing this? They basically conceded this game. And then he retires the next three, and then, you know, whatever. But like, and plus with like some context here, aside from the three extra inning losses, it wasn't just Clevenger on Saturday night. In fact, he was like just one of the culprits. Dennis Santana, Mitch White, and Clevenger allowed 11 runs in a game. The Dodgers led 13-0. And when Clevenger was the last of those three to come in, and he allowed a three-run homer, made it 14-11. So a game that was supposed to be a laugher, and like, let's use the low-leverage guys to close
this
out.
Both teams took almost all the good players. Spring training game, I think, is what Joe Davis called it, and that's what it felt like.
It wasn't a Trout-Otani, like, fueled comeback, right? Yeah. It was like Taylor Ward so it was very odd. And then like, so they had to use Victor Gonzalez and Blake Treinen to close that game out, right? So 14-11 like that, and that was their only win of last week, and it felt like a loss. Like it was so disorienting. Like, and so that's where you're thinking like, how? So Dave Roberts said after that game on Saturday, he was like, look, we're throwing these guys into the fire. They got to throw strikes. He was obviously like frustrated after the game. I think Dennis Santana had the worst game in terms of throwing strikes, but he's been generally better, I think, than the other group of three. But like, it's clear like these guys, they're just making these guys like sink or swim. But like, it's usually in a situation where you've exhausted other alternatives first, and like last night to just see him go right to Clevenger, it's like, wow. So I asked Dave Roberts about that after the game because it was weird to me. And like again, I'm not saying like, it's not like, why is this guy out here? He doesn't belong in the majors. It's not necessarily that. I mean, there's probably an element of that to it, but like, it's more like what goes into your decision to make him the first choice in a one run game like this in a 2 day stretch where you have in 4 days where you really have, you have off days, you don't have to worry about the bullpen. And Roberts is like, he called it a minus game, and I don't like that term. It's weird. It sounds weird, but like he said, look, it's only a one run game, but we didn't want to, you know, at that point go to the high leverage guys. But like, I would argue the bullpen as it stands, your sort of A bullpen is obviously like Kenley, Blake Treinen, Victor Gonzalez, and then like Jimmy Nelson's in that group, and like that might be it right now. I guess Joe Kelly, but he's only like just coming back. So also he came back and gave up what, 4 runs and 4 extra base hits in his first game back. It's his first game back, whatever, it's fine. But like, so I get that they only have 4 leverage relievers, but they only had to get to go 2 innings last night. You could, in theory, use 2 of those high leverage relievers to finish the game, or maybe even just 1, depending how the game goes, and then still have like 3 or 4 of them still available Wednesday. So that was sort of what I was getting at. But yeah, like it worked. Like, so, and I think sometimes we forget that, like, because last season was 60 games and every game obviously counted more. I think we forget sometimes that over a long season, there's a lot of times, maybe more than we are willing to admit or notice, that a team is simply just trying to buy a few outs. Like, you know, they're just trying to get by sometimes. So, like, he and Robert said, like, nobody else was, like, down. Like, so it was a choice to bring Clevinger in, and it worked. I mean, I'm not saying I would have made that choice, but, like, you sort of, that's sort of where we're kind of at right now. And that's sort of the roller coaster nature of, like, how this week has gone. And so anyway, after Clevinger, right? So the Dodgers, like, almost tied it in the seventh. They loaded the bases, and then Mookie Betts struck out on an inside pitch that was called strike three. I don't want to get into this because it seems like the proliferation of, like, umpire tracking and, like everybody online whining about umpires, it's just, it gets a little much for me. But, like, there's been some weird
tend
calls
to be that, but I have some of my limits, and this season it has just felt really bad. For the Dodgers. Yeah. Like,
no, I agree. Like, there have been, like, some, you're like, wow, like this. and like, you could, you can always tell on the broadcast, I forget which one of the Angels games it was. I think it was Friday night because
that sounds right.
That was two nights in a row where Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser just got giddy because the Dodgers lost 9-2 on Friday. So that game was kind of a laugher early-ish. And so they got really silly, and it was really funny. And there was one point where there was like a pitch. I believe the Angels were batting. And I don't remember. But like it was thrown like not right down the middle, but like
pretty dang close.
it was like in the, very clearly in the strike zone, maybe the lower part of the strike zone. But and, Joe Davis was like almost laughing. He's like, wow, Adrian Johnson had that one down. And then like without missing a beat, Oral Hershiser just like jumps in and goes, the middle. And they were laughing so hard. It was really funny. And so when that kind of stuff happens, you know it's bad. Like and it's one of those things too, like the players after the game or the manager, they're never going to come out and say, yeah, that umpire was shitty tonight, because they're just going to get fined. It's like you're just giving away money for nothing. So, like, they have to talk around it, you know, and, like, things like that. But you could tell when they're mad, like, about stuff like that. And it was kind of funny. But, yeah, so setting the stage. Not only that, so you would have, in any time in the last 3 weeks, you would have been warranted, like, fully going to sleep. the Dodgers even got, like, the first two batters got out in the eighth inning, and Justin Turner struck out against Rafael Montero, like essentially against fastballs down the middle. And Turner struck out like four times last night, which I think the first time he's ever done that. But so it's two outs and then nobody on. So you're like, well, this is just going. We always talk about they're really good at getting two out hits, but they.
I almost texted you during the Gavin looks at bat. I'm like, the two on, two out special.
So, so Chris Taylor singled. He ended up stealing second, and then Matt Beatty. Speaking of things that have happened a lot this year, he got hit by a pitch. Like a lot of Dodgers have gotten hit by a lot of everyone have gotten hit by a pitch this year. But, like, it's been kind of nuts. And so there's two on, two outs. Lux is up, relatively struggling. He's been better the last, like, four or five games-ish. And, you know, at this point, they're literally, like, 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. It's, like, textbook the last 3 weeks. And then he, like, murdered a pitch. Like, I want to say, like, speaking of Joe Davis, so he nailed this home run call.
The 1-0. Lux kills the ball way back there. His biggest big league swing. A go-ahead three-run home run.
Yeah, so being one of if there's a downside to, like, being at the game is that I'm not listening to, like Joe Davis and Oral Hershiser calling the game. So, like, I didn't hear that call until, like, after the game. And it's like, wow, that was a good call. like, immediately, you know, for Joe Davis, too, like, you know, he's been calling all these games the last, like, 3 weeks. Like, for him to go from, like, 0-60, like that quickly, it was kind of amazing. And then, so it made for a very, like, sort of
cathartic.
Yeah, yeah, like that's a good way to put it. Like, just there was, and also it's always easier to like, for players will open up more after a win, whereas yeah, after a loss, there's like, nah, whatever. But
next game, Justin one Turner, game, one game at a time. Good game.
And it's like when you ask Clayton Kershaw after a loss, so what do you think went wrong? Giving up runs. It's like, all right, calm down, Clayton. So Justin Turner tweeted just a picture of Lux, and he's like, oh, I see it was the tight pants tonight or something. I don't remember what he put. And so this happened. It was a long, like, post game. They had, like, a beer shower, I think, for Garrett Clevenger for getting his first major league win. So the players were just giddy, like, afterwards. So we talked to Lux after Justin Turner tweeted this, and someone asked him about the pants. I think it was Juan Trebio of MLB.com. And he said, they're actually Walker Buehler's pants. He says, whenever Walker's out here rocking the tight pants, I'll rock on with them. So we could have a thing here, like, you know, especially if it gets out. It was Lux's first home run. And, like, that was the thing I noticed right away. Well, he murdered the ball, right? So, like, immediately the crowd, like, knew it was gone. And I looked down at Lux, and he was, like hitting his chest, you know, and yelling. And then after seeing, like, the call and, like, various gifs, it was very clear. He said, let's fucking go. Like, that was that was what he was yelling. And so, like, yeah, it was, like, everything just sort of led to that moment, right? And, of course, after the game, just about everyone, well, part of it is leading questions. Everyone's asked, so do you think this is the kind of game that can turn you guys around? And, yeah, I do think we can kind of turn it. It's like,
no, well, not really. We'll be back yeah, at it tomorrow. Don't worry.
So, like, well, then if you look at it, right, like, so if you had to guess, how many days has it been since the Dodgers have won two straight?
Many, right? Like,
I'm not gonna
16, something like that.
Yeah, I would say you're close, but you're not.
Oh, okay.
It's 25 days. They, yeah, it's been a while. And so it was the first two in San Diego when that was the end of their 8-game winning streak. And then they were 13-2, and then since then their highest winning streak is one. So this was, you know, we recorded last Wednesday, and then the Dodgers were in Wrigley. They played later that day. They had just lost a doubleheader the night before we recorded last time. And then the last game of that was an extra inning loss. And then after we recorded, they lose again in extra innings that night. Garrett Clevenger got the loss, obviously. And then they got blown out Friday, which we talked about. And then, you know, Saturday they had the one win last week, the crazy 13-0 to 14-11. And then Sunday was the more stereotypical game. They've lost, I believe, it was 2-1. They've lost seven straight one-run games. They're 4-10 in those games. But then if you want to get galaxy brain, had Lux only hit a two-run double, they could have snapped that, one-run streak. But they won by two, so, like, it's one of those things. It's weird. Now, so there's some positives, right? Like, David Price threw off the mound yesterday, and he's going to face hitters, I think, like, one or two more times, like, in the next coming days. And so he's been out since April 25th. He could be back, like, next week. I don't think he's going to go on a rehab assignment. His role is still relief and, like, kind of a max two-inning guy. But I think just having him back sort of helps stabilize the bullpen somewhat. Now, where it gets tricky, right, is they're still about to hit this, like, limbo period where, Tony Gonsolin, he's pitching two innings in a simulated game Thursday at Camelback. And then I think from there he's going to AAA, Oklahoma City, and he's going to start twice, a three-inning game and then probably a four-inning game, and then he can be activated. So that's essentially like last weekend of May. They're going to have to fill two bullpen games between now and then. So that's where it sort of gets tricky. And maybe as early as this Sunday, no later than next Tuesday they'll have to do the first one. Now, what throws a wrench into this is somewhat is like Josiah Gray. So he's their top pitching prospect. He's not on the 40-man. And like a week and a half ago before the AAA season started, Dave Roberts, when he was sort of asked about him, he's like, well, like he's just not there yet. He's our top prospect. Like, obviously, we think highly of him, but he's not there yet. But then last night, Gray was supposed to start for Oklahoma City in Round Rock, got scratched like literally minutes before his AAA start. And like Alex Friedman, the OKC play-by-play man, he said like he was watching Gray warming up in the outfield at 5:50 local time in Texas, and it was like a 6:05 game. He didn't like see him walk off the field or anything. It's just all of a sudden he wasn't starting, so it was very odd. There was no report from there about an injury. We asked Dave Roberts about it last night, and this is one of those things where like Zoom sucks sometimes. So I believe JP Hornster asked the first question about Gray, like, you know, 2/3 into our sort of Zoom scrum with Dave Roberts post game. And his question was like, you know, I saw Josiah Gray got pulled from his start. Is there an injury here that would have necessitated him, you know, coming up? And Roberts said, he's like, well, yeah, you know, we've been kind of talking about it, but then obviously we'll have to scratch that now. So it was a very confusing answer because the way JP asked it was like, is somebody else hurt, like, mm-hmm. to make him get called up now? But the way Dave answered it was, well, we were thinking about calling up Josiah Gray, or at least talking about it, but now we're not. So I followed up a little later with, I said, so with Josiah Gray, you know, are the injury concerns here resolved? And Dave thought I was asking about injury concerns for Josiah Gray, and he's like, well, he's our top prospect. Anytime you're pulled from a start, we're going to have to run tests. I don't know if we've run those yet. And then I tried to follow up, but because it's Zoom and not in person, the moderator, the Dodgers PR person, like, went on to the next person. So there's so, and plus it's like super late and it's the worst time to ask that kind of stuff, especially from like two time zones away. But like, so it's very odd, but like, it's pretty clear that something happened to Gray. We just don't know what, but it also means that the Dodgers were like considering it because like you said, they're, you know, it's hard to do a bullpen game when like half the bullpen is rough, right? So like, who knows what they're going to do there, but it won't be Gonsolin until like the last weekend of May. So that'll be a sort of roadblock or like a challenge in the next couple weeks, I think. But, you know, if they actually start hitting again, that's one of those things that can kind of paper over some of this stuff. So it won't be so bad where like as before, like the last 3 weeks, the hitting was sort of shining, like it was just making everything difficult. Like even when they were getting great starts, like, it just didn't matter. Like, so it was just weird. But yeah, so it's been I would say a roller coaster week, to say the least. But I do have a trivia question for you. I believe we're going to ask a lot of triples related trivia in this podcast. I was not aware of this when I formulated this question, but Chris Taylor, he tripled last night in addition to his single and stolen base later. He has 3 triples at Dodger Stadium this year. Last year, as a team, the Dodgers hit 2 in 30 home games. So Chris Taylor had 4 triples in both 2018 and 19 at home. The last non-Taylor Dodger with 3-plus triples at home was way back in 2014. My question to you is, who has the most triples in one season at Dodger Stadium?
I'll answer that after this. Who has the most triples in a single season at Dodger Stadium?
Before you answer, I will say we'll do it after. But you, I want to see if you know the people who had 3. There were 2. The people who had 3 triples, 3 or more triples at home in 2014.
Ugh. Okay. So, but full disclosure, I have a little bit of an assist. As you hinted at, there may be some triple questions coming your way, Eric, And so reviewing those answers before I read the questions fully,
yep.
I have a small leg up, but I tried to forget, and I'm really good at that. So my guess for most Dodger Stadium triples in a single season, there we go, Maury Wills?
So it's no. I'm not even offended that, like, because I put this in the recap last night, but again, as a tired person, like, I understand that. Plus, also, our site was down last night, so this literally didn't publish till like 1 a.m. Pacific. So, like, I don't blame you if you didn't see this in my recap last night. But I will say it's not Maury Wills, but Maury Wills had 6 home triples twice at Dodger Stadium, 1962, his MVP year, and 1965. But no, there was one other person.
Two more guesses, and then I'll let you tell me.
Okay.
Willie Davis.
I'm looking to see. So Willie Davis, his most triples at home in a season was 4. It looks like, 1, 2, 3. Did it 4 times. 1962. 1967, 1969, 1971.
My final guess is Bill Russell.
Oh man. Okay. I don't think he hit many, but I mean, just, he was so around. Oh, so he actually, his most is 4 triples at home, 1970.
Okay.
He was fast. Okay. So just to round out, The people who hit 6 triples at home at Dodger Stadium: Rafael Furcal, his first year as a Dodger, 2006. Brett Butler, my platonic ideal for a leadoff man, hit 6 in 1992. One other person who we'll talk about in a second. And the answer with 7 was Tommy Davis in 1962.
What's really funny is you and I were talking before, and I was mentioning, because you actually swapped what triple question was, because you actually were about to ask something that Craig just straight up answered. And I mentioned, and I believe the answer to that is Willie Davis. Am I right?
The old trivia question? Yes.
And I was joking. I'm like, oh, I always will, like, malaprop and mix up Willie Davis and Tommy Davis. I wish I had done it.
Yeah, exactly. And you even told me this before, and I kept a straight face.
Yeah, you did. No, you really did.
So the thing about Willie Davis is, if you're trying to tell them apart, if you don't remember, is that his nickname is the Three Dog.
Yeah.
for hitting triples.
But that's what screwed me up, is I got it straight this time.
Right, exactly. And then Tommy Davis was amazing in his own right. Won 2 batting titles, and he's like the last Dodger to win a batting title, which is crazy. And in 1963, so then he got hurt, wasn't really the same. But yeah, that's the answer to this trivia question.
All right. So, I'm supposed to guess the 2014.
Oh yeah.
I'm doing that thing where, like, 2009 through 2016 are all the same, or 15 are all the same season to me. Andre Ethier?
Wow, yes. Noted fast man, Andre Ethier. No, he hit 4 triples in 2014. He did not lead the team at home. He hit 4. Mm-hmm. He did not lead the team in home triples that year.
This is another one where Craig's email is helping out a bit. Matt Kemp?
No, and I'm looking to see what Kemp's best year was at home. It looks like 3 in 2010.
I will tap out then.
Okay, D. Strange Gordon hit 5 triples at home in 2014.
Well, there we go.
Yep.
You got a rewind for us?
I do, and one of the players I didn't mention who hit 6 triples at home for the Dodgers was Wilton Guerrero in 1997. He hit 9 triples that year. That was his first full year. They signed him in 1991 out of the Dominican Republic. He mostly played second base with the Dodgers. He moved around a little bit. Like, this is one of those semi-unfair things, but there was a Dodgers tradition for years of getting the other brother Like they had Chris Gwynn in the late 80s. They had Juan Bell, brother of George Bell. And at least Juan Bell, they traded him for Eddie Murray, so that's cool. They had Ken Brett and not George Brett. They had Glenn Hoffman, Trevor's brother. They actually had Mike Maddox twice, but they rectified that later by getting Greg Maddox twice, so it was fine. Ramon Martinez doesn't count here, even though Pedro was otherworldly because Ramon was awesome. But then, of course, Wilton was Vladimir Guerrero's older brother. Now, it's hard to remember, but Wilton was actually a very highly regarded prospect. He was top 100 by Baseball America twice. He was number 61 heading into 96, number 49 into 97. It's safe to say he just didn't quite pan out like, you know, like maybe perhaps that lofty expectations. Now, he did pretty well. He debuted late 96, very, very like cup of coffee style, and then was with the Dodgers till the trade deadline in 98. He ended up getting traded to the Expos in like a pretty big deal. Like at the time, like he was traded with Ted Lilly and Peter Bergeron. I remember at the time, like being very mad, like that they traded Peter Bergeron, thinking he was going to be like a big star or something. And the lesson here is don't listen to anything I have to say. But they got Mark Grzelanek, Carlos Perez, and Hiram Boca Chica. And, I don't know, it just seemed like a very fitting Dodgers move for that time. Wilton with the Dodgers hit 288, 302, 380. So decent average, didn't ever walk, and, you know, very little power. Is an 83 OPS plus. That's actually better than his career line overall. He had a 76 OPS plus overall. Also played with the Expos, Reds, and Royals. He actually finished his career with negative baseball reference war, negative 1.8, but he was flat zero with the Dodgers. So not that that's, you know, necessarily the end-all, be-all way to, you know, value someone. It's just that's what it did. He was known in 97, June 1st, in St. Louis. He, like, grounded out, shattered his bat. And then, like, on the way back to the dugout, he was, like, a little too eager to, like, get every piece of the bat. Usually something the bat boy does, and Wilton's out there going, gotta get my bat, you know, like, and then umpires are like, hey, what are you doing? And they checked it, and they're like, well, this is, like, you know, filled with cork. And so he was suspended for 8 games. I just remember the Jim Rome show, which I listened to a lot at the time, like, don't ask, but it was, he called him Corky, and that sort of stuck for a while, and it was stupid. But yeah, Wilton was a scout for the Dodgers, I think he, in like 2009, I'm not sure exactly how long he did that. Now, he's not listed in the media guide, however, like a couple weeks ago, in a Ramon Troncoso Instagram post, Ramon Troncoso is sort of in the Dodgers organization right now. I think he's minor league pitching coach. I forgot his exact title, but sort of like everyone was sort of, when they got their championship rings, everyone's posted pictures of it on Instagram. And there was a picture of Troncoso. I thought there was like a group of five people. I thought Wilton Guerrero was in that group. Maybe I just missaw, but it seemed like he had a ring. So maybe he still has a small role in the Dodgers organization. I'm not sure. He's not listed in the media guide, so I couldn't tell for certain. But yeah, that's the Wilton Guerrero story. Now, I do have a Wilton Guerrero trivia question that's not triple related.
Yeah, I read this, and I don't believe how many there are.
I was a little surprised, to be honest. I don't know. So Wilton Guerrero, major league debut. This was 1996. He entered the game as a pinch runner for Dodger legend Wayne Kirby. Also known, I can't remember. He might have been he was either the first or very, very soon after he, like, the Dodger to wear number 55 after Oral Hershiser left. I was very mad at the time at that. Wilton Guerrero scored in that. So, since 1901, the farthest back the Baseball Reference Play Index goes, there have been 19 Dodgers to score a run as a pinch runner in their major league debut. How many can you name?
Heck, not I, man. I don't know. I almost said Troncoso, just because that name got stuck. LeCastro is what I meant to say.
No. So let me see. I will. So Guerrero did it in 96. There's only been one person since.
Oh, I hate you.
Yeah.
So 18 of the names were from when I was 10 or younger.
And I'll give you another hint. Zach Wheat did not do it.
Oh, okay.
Well, just looking at this list, you should get one. Like, there's a chance you might get three, but like it would be shocking. But yeah,
well, I'll go back to the well, Maury Wills.
Nope.
Okay. Is there a Davis on there?
There is, but not Tommy or Willie. So I'm gonna give you this. Otis Davis in 1946 for Brooklyn. He is actually the last person to do it, last Dodger to do it for Brooklyn. There have been 11, including Wilton Guerrero, to do it for Los Angeles.
Okay. Man, I'm tapping out. I'm
the
giving
one
up.
Who, I'll give you one more. The person who did it since was in 2011.
2011 Major League debut. Is that?
In Philadelphia. Born and raised, not born and raised. But...
2011 would have a major league debut. No, I'm tapping out. I'm done. My brain's fried.
Okay, so that was. Sorry, I'm just looking at something. Yeah, that was D. Strange Gordon. 2011.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other names that you. Might have gotten you. There's no way. You're never going to guess Mike Marshall as one of them, but that was like at least a name. Bobby Valentine was the maybe other, but even that, like that would have been a stretch. 1969. Other than that, yeah. Jose Gonzalez, something I don't know if I would have guessed it, but I like that's my era. So, like, yeah. That was your very weird Wilton Guerrero question.
All right. I've got a surprise for you.
Huh.
It's time for. It's not much of a surprise. It's time for
questions from Craig.
Otis Davis.
I'm giving you credit for that because you said this, we're using Jeopardy rules.
Who is? I don't think Davis? They would have taken that. Yeah. Like, there's many notable.
I don't think so. Like you just say, "Who is Davis?" And, all
right. Since 1995, eight Dodgers have 20 or more triples while wearing a Dodger uniform. Can you name them?
Okay, so Craig asked after I had done the career triples sort of leaderboard, because I originally looked that up, Chris Taylor, I believe, has 12 career triples at home. Mm. So my search was home triples related. So I already know Willie Davis, a.k.a. the Three Dog, had 36 triples at home. That would have been the answer to that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's clearly one. I don't remember anyone else on that list, but just going off the single season list, I have to say Maury Wills. Oh, so, 95. It's 95. Yes. Yeah. Good Lord. Okay, wow, this changes things.
Maury Wills is incorrect, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Rafael Furcal.
Number 4 with 27.
Okay, since 95. So you have... Okay, so that he said since 95, I was going to say Mondesi, but he debuted in 94, but it was only... No, he was Rookie of the Year in 94. Oh, damn it. So it's not Mondesi. I would have said Mondesi, maybe.
You should maybe still say Mondesi.
All right.
Mondesi. With number 3 with 28.
What about, well, let's just go with the longevity plays. Matt Kemp?
Number 2 with 33.
And just given that Ethier hit four triples at home once, and that he played... 12 years. Let's go Ethier.
number one with 34.
Wow. Okay, so I need four more.
You see why I guessed those two first.
Yeah. I need four more.
You have five through. You got one through four. You need five through eight.
Sean Green.
Nope.
Was what I might have said. okay. Let's see. 95. I don't know why I'm stuck on that.
I'll give you a hint. 95 only played in Tyrol. So.
All right. That is quite a hint.
The current the remaining four span 98 through current.
Well, I need to like just D Gordon D Strange Gordon now.
Nope.
Really?
Yes. Wow. That's why I never kept not guessing.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Also, D. Gordon Strange is definitely a member of the like Time Has No Meaning, because like when you said 2011 debut, I'm like, there's no way that's right. That happened like four seasons ago.
Exactly.
Even though
right.
obviously when I think of it longer, that's not the case. But
now I can't say I know this, but just knowing that Chris Taylor has 12 home triples and that Dodger Stadium is a notoriously ridiculously hard triples park, I will say Chris Taylor.
Number 5 of 23.
Okay. Triple.
He is the only current player.
Yeah.
On the Dodgers, I should. None of these players are still active in baseball. Still active as players in baseball, I should say.
Like, Gary Sheffield was only 4 years. I don't think he hit five triples a year. So let's see. No, I don't. Well, let's think here. Oh, Dave Roberts.
Nope.
Okay.
Nice little guess. You have you're in the right era, more or less. You've got a first baseman, a second baseman, and a shortstop.
Cesar Torres.
Number 8 with 20.
Alex Cora.
Number 6 with 21.
First baseman. Jason Phillips? No. Wow.
How dare you besmirch my catcher?
Noted speedster Adrian Gonzalez. James Loney?
Yep. Tied with Cesar Torres with 20.
Wow. All right.
All right, moving on.
I wouldn't have got it without. I was actually going to guess his Torres, but I wouldn't have got it without the hint of positions.
9 Dodgers have 23 or more triples on the road while wearing a Dodger uniform.
Okay. So Willie Davis, obviously
number 1,
68. Maury Wills.
Number 6 with 25.
Oh man! When I read this, Craig said, "Please name these roadsters," and I thought it said three roadsters, and then I forgot that it's 9. Okay, so it's 1962. Okay, now so 23.
You have three players that were on the other list, for what it's worth.
Okay. damn it! If I forgot the order, let's see. Well. Okay, that was 20. Matt Kemp?
Number 5 of 25.
And I guess Andre Ethier, since he was number 1.
Number 9 of 23. Tied for 8th, I should say.
Okay. Brett Butler,
tied with Andre Ethier, 23. You're missing 7, 2, 3, and 4.
Okay, I'm going to go back to your well of Bill Russell.
Number 2 with 34.
Yeah, longevity there. Okay, now. Let's go. No, he didn't play long enough. What about Wes Parker?
Nope.
Davey Lopes?
Yes, number 3, 29.
Okay.
You have 2 Rookie of the Years remaining.
Oh. Mondesi?
Yep, with 27.
And then... Steve Sachs?
There you go.
Nice.
Good job. Last question, switching things around. Since 1995, again, five Dodger pitchers have given up 21 or more triples. Who are they?
Kershaw?
Number 2 of 30.
I'm trying to think, like, so if it's just not since 95.
Fittingly, 3 of these players were on the Ken Griffey Jr. 64 roster, the roster that I have memorized. Because I don't know the bullpen, but...
Right. So, the thing is, like, that only captures, like, 4 years of Ramon Martinez. So, I was thinking of him just because he was around. Chad Billingsley?
Number 1, 33.
Wow, that's a lot. And then, wow, since 95. So, Hideo Nomo.
Number 3, 24.
Chanho Park.
Number 4, 23.
And so, the only thing, like, oh, man. So, Kevin Brown was, like, active for 5 years with the Dodgers, but he was really only, he was hurt, so he was, like, 3.5 years. And I don't think he gave up that many triples. So, who could be? Let's see. Man, what? I don't know why this is so difficult. I'm really struggling to. I don't know the last one. I'm gonna quit.
Member of the United Nations rotation.
Wait, is it Tom Candiotti?
Nope.
So I sometimes get the years mixed up with those, with who specifically was that. So I already said I'm not going to guess Ramon Martinez. And then they had Nomo Park. I don't remember the other nation.
The other nation is Mexico.
And why, okay, and for some reason, I'm still drawing a blank.
Ismael Valdez.
God damn it. Yeah, of course. I actually, because I'm sitting there thinking, like, all right, what's the, like, the 96, or 95 to 97, and I could not pull Ismael.
Yeah, with the, Tom Gagnotti isn't in King Griffey Jr., it's Darren Dreyfurt, so it's still the United Nations rotation,
yep.
But
yep.
Different. Okay. Good job. You did good.
Wow.
A lot of triples. Second full question from Craig. Have Eric and or Jacob ever been surprised by how much they enjoyed a movie, play, or music performance? My example would be seeing an unplanned Book of Mormon matinee. I didn't know what to expect and really enjoyed it.
Wow. So I think this still holds for me, I think. That my number one all-time, like, performance to expectation ratio movie is Digstown. Saw it in a theater, went in, I mean, I didn't, it's not like I went in thinking I was going to hate it. It was just like, oh, okay, a movie. And then it like blew me away, like in a weird way. I don't know. I just thought it was very entertaining. I think, in a way, The Sandlot is close to that for me. I saw it with, like, a church youth group, and it was just, like, we were just sort of hanging out watching it, and it was like, wow, this is really good. And I didn't know anything about it going in. So I think probably most of it is, like, just not knowing anything about it going in. It's hard to avoid, like hype for movies now, like before you see it. But yeah, those were the ones I think for me.
The movie Once comes to mind in that it was just a recommendation from a friend and it got billed as sort of like modern musical, which is not normally my genre. I did not know that it starred the lead singer of the and main member songwriter for the Frames, a favorite band of mine. I just had no clue, and really, really enjoyed that. It ended up being a very special movie for my family. My mom walked down the aisle when she was married to my stepdad to the main song from that, bunch of stuff like that.
Oh, so, my God. Very. Wait, how many times did you see it, just out of curiosity?
More than once.
Damn it. All right.
Good answer. 1911, Honus Wagner won his 8th and last batting title. I saw a statue of Wagner outside PNC Park when I visited there. Do you think the Dodgers should honor some of the Brooklyn greats, like podcast favorite Zach Wheat and Vance in coming years?
Dazzy, yeah. They actually absolutely
no Otis
should.
Vance.
Otis Wheat and Otis Vance. Down the left field line on the base of the club level, that's where all the retired numbers plus Vince Scully and Jaime Harin. And it's also where they should have Mike Piazza and Fernando Valenzuela. But they should absolutely put like a you know, obviously no number because they didn't wear numbers, but put a thing up there with Zach Wheat and Dazzy Vance. Like, they're Hall of Famers. Like, Wilbert Robinson.
You need
like,
to make sure that they get a circle somewhere along the pavilions, because otherwise I won't list Zach Wheat when we get Hall of Fame questions.
Exactly. So, yeah, they need to have that up there. I think it's yeah, it's like there's a lot of cool things about like the way they sort of restructured Dodger Stadium, especially in Center Field Plaza. There's a lot of historical stuff, but like, yeah, you have to have that kind of stuff front and center. Like if you're like, I know it's it's like retiring a number, right? But you've already like sort of realized that it's not the number itself you're retiring; it's the person you're honoring, because you have the microphones for Vin and Jaime Harin. So, like, yeah, just put a blank thing with a B logo, right? Like, and Wheat, like, or and Vance or whatever. And I guess early Grimes, too, like, and maybe for Grimes you put the still shot of the Simpsons gravestone that says Grimes. No, that's a little too much. But, yeah, I absolutely think they should do that, and it should be front and center.
As of Tuesday night, pitchers Adrian Hauser and Waskar Inoa each had 2 home runs. Shohei Ohtani, along with Jack Flaherty, each have 1. Here's a contest question. How many home runs will Ohtani hit as a pitcher this season? I just want to mourn the loss of the great trivia question that would have lived had Hyunjin hit the last home run as a pitcher. Very upset.
Yeah, that's brutal. So I just want to point out, as of, I know he's mentioning as a pitcher, but as of this morning, Shohei Ohtani is tied for the American League lead with 10 home runs. And he also last night struck out 10 in 7 innings. So he's insane.
I wanted him to be a Dodger real bad.
So the problem is, well, I guess in long term it would have worked if they eventually add the DH.
It was like, coming. I
sort of need it, right?
I understand it, but I was still rooting for that hard.
Last night, after he pitched, he went into right field. So, like, they've really taken the gloves off this year, and he's thriving, and it's wonderful. So he's batted 4 of his 6 starts as a pitcher. And he has the 1 home run. So, you know, there's always going to be injury risk, but like, let's say he makes 20 starts, right?
Mm-hmm.
He already has, he has 1 home run as a pitcher in 6 starts, but he's a generally good hitter. I think he's going to hit 4 home runs. Wait, is this 4 more? What
4
is he
total,
asking
just
me?
Total.
Yeah. I'm going to say 5 total.
I'll say
as
6.
Wow. Someone's wanted to. All right.
A proud fighter fan. Gotta root for him.
I'm pretty sure it's Ham Fighter.
I mean, that's what I call them most of the time.
I know. It's funny.
They play in the, I think, I'm pretty sure they haven't switched stadiums yet, and they still play in the Sapporo Dome. Makes me want a delicious Sbarro right now.
The way you said that, it sounded like you said Sbarro. Like
I almost renunciated it just because I kind of noticed that as well. But
yeah, the pizza queen, or whatever the 30 Rock was. Yeah. Anyway,
sorry. Time for some updates, Eric. I'm heading to Dodger Stadium next week. What are the food highlights so far that you have tried? And Jacob, have you passed on some of your food favorites to your child yet?
Yeah, is she a craft beer enthusiast? Yeah.
No. And no, she's still too young to like. Still largely just sort of mushed up vegetables and fruits, which is definitely her mother's domain. Definitely getting a lot there. Melissa does not like bananas, and I do, so that is one of my areas of domain. But a year, it tends to be when you can kind of be a little bit more loose in the sort of the joys of life. Like, that's probably when she'll get cake, maybe ice cream. You know, don't want to overdo the sugar, but
yeah,
at the same time,
just like that, the general like sort of piecing food, like the soft cereals or like that she could just have around. So I have not had strained vegetables and fruits at Dodger Stadium.
I saw a tweet, and I do forget from who. It might have been JP, but I'm not positive about that.
I know what you're talking about.
That the new hot dog is delicious, apparently.
So the news was, we talked about this earlier.
Should have done a whole episode to it. This Farmer Joe, should have been
we honestly still can. there's plenty of times we're going to be light on content. Farmer John no longer supplying Dodger dogs. Papa Cantella's, which is also based out of Vernon, locally, they are the new supplier. And also, I believe in the press release it said, and premium sausages. My goal is to find where those premium sausages are and eat those. But so they've been sort of piecemealing out, like opening some of the new stuff. As of last night, Shake Shack is open. I'm going to probably try to go there tonight. I did not last night. I was on the reserve level meeting up with a friend of mine. So I ate from the reserve level. I got a Dodger dog and a Super dog. I'm not sure. I think these were grilled. They didn't say grilled. I'm going to do some exploring on this. Now, there's a couple things here. Last night also marked the first time they started the press dining room back up again. They hadn't been doing that under, like, the COVID restrictions. Just having, like, sort of a snack station and, like, a refrigerator that had really terrible prepackaged sandwiches you could purchase. In there, like, that was sort of the only thing, but now they have like the kitchen sort of working again. Now that means like free Dodger dogs in the press box after like the fifth inning, but I didn't realize this, and I bought a couple dogs last night. Now it looked grilled, it tasted really good, and like that's the thing, like the ones in the press box are not grilled. That's why I want to do a comparison before I review. I'm going to end up reviewing probably something later this month after the homestand, because I've walked around a little bit. But yeah, I'm excited because, frankly, like my experience with the Dodger dog has really been the boiled ones they bring to the press box. And like, they're just not good. Like, they haven't been good for a while. The one I had last night was pretty good. Like, The super dog in general is better because it's like bigger and beefier, and like, but like just as a standalone like Dodger, it was a good dog. So like that was encouraging. So I'm gonna try at some point the press box dog and compare. I took pictures and it had like the sort of grill marks. I have high hopes. That I think that's a good sign. The one other thing I tried so far, there's a new thing in the center field plaza on the right field side called Bow and Bowls. Now, they only had a limited menu last homestand. I believe what they're supposed to have, and they might have it now, is like a few different like meat and rice bowls. And they come in the sort of half baseball Dodger souvenir bowl. So that's always the plus. It's like the best like cereal slash ice cream bowl you could have at home. But then what I was looking forward to is the bow itself. That was okay. Like honestly, I probably had too high of expectations for that, and it was just like, okay. But like, it's also like for a ballpark food, like it's a good like alternative. At least the bow part, and also like the sweet and sour sauce that came with it, like made it better. So that was a plus, I thought. Maybe on the expensive side. Definitely on the expensive side is Little Sweet Chick, which is on the field level. That's just like a standard chicken sandwich, and it's actually pretty good. I didn't realize they put mayonnaise on it. I hate mayonnaise with a passion, and I still ate it, and it didn't like make it bad. You know what I mean? Like it was just fine. So the chicken sandwich itself was good. The fries, the waffle fries, look amazing, and I had high hopes for them, but they were cold, so they were terrible. So that's bad. But yeah, like, so those are the things I've tried. I've never had Shake Shack ever anywhere, so going to try that either tonight or the next week. I'm taking this weekend off, so we'll see. And then there's some other things, like I haven't really done much on the barbecue, Think Blue Barbecue out there, so I want to hit that up and probably get something at the taqueria before I like finish up like a review. California Pizza Kitchen's also there. I'm not sure if I'm going to try. I mean, you kind of know what California Pizza Kitchen is like, but I don't know. Maybe I will, just to see what it's like. But yeah, it looks, there seems like there's some pretty decent options out there. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Well, time to wrap this up.
Wow. We did good. We talked triples. We talked food, which is always good. We talked hot dogs, and we talked Gavin Lux turning the Dodgers season around. I don't know. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.